Good afternoon. This is Jack Marks with the Wall Street Reporter, and today I'm speaking with Carl Gamperli. He's the CEO of Alexis Corporation, which is now trading on NASDAQ under the symbol ESYS. Carl, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me, Jack.
Well, why don't we start off with getting an overview of Alexis's business? And
sure.
Sort of the
you're
a holding company. Tell us about sort of the your operating units.
Sure. Alexis Corporation is a publicly traded company that has one operating unit, which is also Alexis Corporation, and we focus on developing custom engineered technology solutions for critical industries when high quality, reliability, and innovation are essential. The motto we like to use is, and reliability and performance are vital. And that really has two components, whether it's the reliability and performance of the equipment you're buying from us or the reliability and performance of us as a supplier to you. In both senses, we take that very seriously. We've got a few different sections of the company. We provide services to end customers but also to original equipment manufacturers. So we do custom-designed electronic solutions and manufacturing solutions for OEMs, which are then labeled with their brand names. We also make specialty liquid crystal displays in our clean room here in Kansas, one of the only three clean rooms operating in the U.S. Most of that work is generally done overseas. We also have some particular expertise in wireless digital communication. In doing customized solutions for OEMs, we help them get their products to market quickly, and we help them keep abreast of technology to keep them from investing in the cutting edge that's a lot more of an efficient economic model to work with a supplier like we are.
Okay.
We do also have some – go ahead.
Well, Carl, let me ask you. So in terms of what exactly are the products that that you make, and where would we find them?
Okay. Most of our markets – are industrial and commercial type markets. They're far from consumer. We're not manufacturing cell phones or toys. The largest market segments we're in are industrial control systems, energy infrastructure industries, aerospace, defense, some medical work, safety and security systems, anything where customers are looking for a critical electronic component or display system to help make their products functional. We generally build sub-assemblies for folks. A perfect example is we do a lot of work with companies that do fire detection and suppression systems. Their biggest business is pipes, fire suppressant chemicals, tanks, storage, and service. For them, electronics is not a key component of their business. They outsource that. We do electronic control systems for specialty vehicles, for displays on aircraft, anywhere where the core business of the customer is to focus on what they do best and how they market and sell, and not, per se, the electronic design and manufacturing.
Okay. Now, your revenues have just about doubled to around $24 million in the last few years. What's been behind that growth, and can we see a similar growth rate going forward?
Well, I mean, there's what's been, I'll answer the first part initially here. Behind the growth is really two components. We try to focus ourselves on organic growth by executing our business plan and growing the business with new customers and penetrating the customers and markets that we're in. But we also always keep an eye open to what we like to call an opportunistic acquisition. We frequently run across either smaller companies with a niche technology or access to a market that we'd like to be in where we can do a small acquisition. So if you look at it, I'd say about half and half of our growth has been from both organic growth and from acquisition. Now, going forward, can we expect the same growth rate going forward? Boy, I would hope so. With today's economic times, no one wants to go on record making any predictions. We are very cognizant of the economic hardships out there. We have seen slowdown in certain customers of ours, but certain markets, for example, energy, has not had much of a slowdown. We're very, very conscious about going after markets where we see good growth potential. We've done a lot more work in the last 2 years internationally, So we're concentrating on some developing markets, such as Africa, the Middle East, and we're starting to do a little bit of work in Eastern Europe as well.
Okay. And I want to sort of go back to, if you just like a the first question, like if you like a, give us a quick overview of the three areas that you're
exactly
in.
Exactly.
Yeah,
we were on that. The part I was initially discussing was branded under DCI. That was a company that was acquired, which really started the company in 2000, and it focuses on the custom design manufacturing for OEMs. But we also have some proprietary products that we market under our own brand names. The first of those is the NTG product line. NTG focuses on wireless monitoring and control of remote assets, primarily monitoring of oil and gas assets, pipelines, storage tanks, bridges, railroad crossings, industrial-type things that you want to be able to control from a distance. It uses cellular and satellite technology where essentially an operator or a business can sit at their desktop and over the Internet take readings from and make changes to assets literally anywhere on the planet. That's NTG's niche. The initial market was oil and gas.
Okay. What kind of numbers is that company doing?
Oh, well, let's see. We acquired, I'm trying to remember history now. I think it was a startup company in 2004 that actually Alexis did some work for, and then we acquired the company, I believe in late 2004. So basically it started from zero, and we're doing, in the last year, $3.5-4 million in revenue, and it's been growing at a pretty rapid pace. That industry we see as having a lot of growth potential. The entire machine-to-machine automated digital transmission industry, I think there's a lot of growth potential for that. So we've got quite a lot of hopes on growing that business.
So in other words, the value proposition is greater efficiency, lower cost?
Well, a couple of things. So the other thing would be, for example, an oil and gas pipeline, they have requirements where technicians need to drive and do manual tests and checking on pipelines. And, if there's a problem with a pipeline, if there's no one there to see the problem, then it takes quite a while before someone makes their rounds again. It also cuts down on labor, because if you think about some of these pipelines in the middle of Alaska or out in the middle of New Mexico, where it's actually quite a trip to get there, having 24/7, our product line is called the Watchdog CP. Having the watchdog watching over your assets 24/7, it gives you some comfort as well as can help prevent an issue. So in that respect, it's an environmental type of problem.
Okay, so that's one of your businesses. Let's talk about
that's one of the businesses. Yeah, one of the other ones is called Radix Corporation. And Radix specializes in making what we call ultra-rugged handheld computers. Everyone's seen it when they return their rental car or the UPS driver drops off a package and he pulls out this little computer. So those are fairly rugged computers. If you drop one of those in the water, they probably wouldn't function. Radix makes what you would call legendarily tough computer systems. They're used anywhere from the military to tracking assets in Africa to reading utilities, meters, and such, where our equipment is literally submersible. It works. It functions underwater. It meets all military shock requirements. So our computers are on the very, very rugged end of that product. So if you want to think of the mobile computing continuum, you start with a cell phone. And we've all dropped our cell phones and seen the batteries fly out of them, up to something that you could go ahead and throw in the water and throw out of an airplane. And ours is on the very top niche of that product area. Consequently, they're expensive, but they're extremely rugged.
All right. And how long has that been part of Alexis, and what kind of numbers, is that doing?
Yeah, Radix was acquired in September of 2007, and the business had been around. It was based in Salt Lake City for quite a while, and was owned by three private owners who were looking to get out of the business. And it depends on the size of the contract. About a year ago, we started a very large contract with the Transnet, which is a railroad system in southern Africa. We've done our first phase of deployment there, and there are multiple phases to go. And we were actually doing a lot of work in the third world, because that's really where those types of devices have the best application. So we're actually very, very bullish about the growth.
I think also, you know, the third world is where really all the growth opportunities are right now.
Exactly. No, I mean, there's, you know, a lot of the things we're doing, I mean, we've got great equipment in Rwanda and Burundi and Nigeria. There's a lot of UN aid development money going into that part of the world where they're just building infrastructure for the first time, where they're putting in an electrical grid and they're putting in water systems. So, I mean, we're looking at a lot of the developing areas right now is very, very good from both an economic standpoint as well as a suitability for ours because it's an extremely harsh environment.
Okay. And what are the numbers there?
I think we do disclose the various product lines. It's somewhere in the 6 million range and growing.
Okay. All right. And so which brings us up to, I guess, Alexis.
Yeah, or MBBS.
MBBS,
RFID. Okay. Exactly, yeah. The last piece of our business is which we just acquired in June. In fact, on June 30th is when we closed on the assets. It's a Swiss company called MBBS, and they make RFID tags. And RFID is a very, very large industry, you know, primarily occupied by the Walmarts of the world with the one-cent tag that goes onto a box so they can control inventory.
Sure.
Well, the tags that MBBS make are nothing like that. The technology that MBBS developed, originally funded by the Swiss government, was coming up with an ultra-rugged tag where the RFID signals could actually transmit through metal. So we've got stainless steel tags which can be welded to objects, and there's no power source in these, so they last forever. They can be read from a reader, and they can be attached to surgical instruments. They can be sterilized. They can go under 2,000 atmospheres of pressure, thousands of feet below the water. I mean, you name it. It's basically a way of reading and writing data and storing it indelibly on a device, which is generally attached to a valuable asset,
mm-hmm.
but being able to do that in environments that no other RFID tag could withstand. So once again,
okay.
It's a very niche application of technology.
And let me understand, and this doesn't require any battery or anything. This goes forever, this tag.
Exactly. It's called a passive RFID tag.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, and it's kind of an interesting concept, there's an extremely low energy integrated circuit inside the tag that's also patented by the Swiss company, which is now, I guess it's our intellectual property.
Mm-hmm.
But just the radio energy from the interrogating reader will bring enough energy into the tag to power up the chip and allow the chip to perform a few functions, whether it's writing more data, reading data, or whatever, and then the chip will go back to sleep again. So you can have a tag attached to something, and it can sit out in the middle of nowhere forever, and when you go read it with your reader, it'll wake up, and you'll be able to write data to and from it.
Oh, that's very interesting.
It's very unique. It's a very unique application.
Yeah, so the RFID market is a really fast-growing market right now. What exactly are the applications where you know your customers are using you know, your particular technology?
Yeah, well, the technology has, you know, I would say the Swiss group that was developing this was a technology company. The technology is now finished and fully developed. Over the last few years, they have deployed systems in various industries, the largest of which is the medical industry. There's an initiative in Europe to track surgical instruments, to be able to write to the instrument exactly which operation they were used on, the date they were sterilized, et cetera, et cetera. So they'll take and write data to these little tags, and the instrument will be used for the operation. It'll be washed, scrubbed, put through the sterilizer, and they'll be able to retain the history of that instrument. So that's the largest area. But they also use them for construction equipment, large pieces of assets that sit out in the weather all day, tagging storage tanks that require inspection so that maintenance personnel can go take readings on the tank and then write the results of the pressure readings onto the tag. So when
now,
the operator shows up, they can read it right off the tag.
Okay. Now, how many other you know, companies are in this particular space, in this niche that you're in?
Well, I mean, it's always hard to define in that, I mean, there's hundreds of companies in the RFID space. But in the very, very ultra-rugged space, there's maybe half a dozen, but really there's no one who has the technology to be able to read and write reliably through metal the way MBBS has, and that's essentially what all of their patents I think there's about 17 patents. That's the intellectual property that those patents protect, is being able to do it through metal.
So essentially, I mean, the first niche that you're really exploiting is this, offering this as a way to track medical instruments in, hospitals worldwide.
Yeah, that's the initial niche that MABS targeted, and analyzing their approach, and we believe that that's still a viable niche. So we're going to continue to pursue that. But the other nice thing about Alexis is, being much larger than MBBS was, we can take that technology and we can apply it to the markets that we're already in. We're already in industrial markets and oil and gas and military and markets where an ultra-rugged tag would have application. So we think we can get this technology to more markets quicker than MBBS ever could have on their own.
Now what kind of revenues is that generating?
Oh, MBBS was about $500,000 Swiss francs a year, which is about $450,000 US a year. So they were literally just kind of in startup mode. So I think it'll be certainly a year or two, because everyone in an application such as these, they need to implement pilot programs and do testing.
Right.
We look at this as the investment for a year or two down the road, not necessarily revenue in the next quarter.
Okay. So what do you see as the potential for that business?
Oh, boy, it's hard to say. I mean, if we had every hospital in the world instrument every instrument, boy, it would be mind-boggling. I don't anticipate that happening in the very near term. But we believe it could be a substantial contributor.
Okay. So I guess the obvious question is, how do all these businesses fit in together? Like, what are the synergies, and how are you going about, integrating them into your company?
Well, what we look for is companies or product lines that fit the technology expertise that we have. We operate all of our businesses around out of one facility with the same group of people doing the manufacturing, the same types of equipment. Even, for example, in RFID tech, well, we're micro-bonding small antennas to ICs, I mean raw silicon ICs. But we also do wire bonding, where we'll take microprocessors and bond them to boards for our aerospace products using this very, very similar equipment. So we look for technologies that are complementary to the rest of what we do, because we wouldn't want to open a dry cleaner or a restaurant or something we have no expertise in. And we also look for technologies that are in related industries or have application in related industries. So by doing that, then we can really kind of eliminate duplicate overhead and duplicate administrative costs by folding the technologies into one operating unit.
Okay. So let's talk about sort of your background and the background of your management team.
Okay. Well, see, my background, I'm an aeronautical engineer, electrical engineer by training. I haven't done a lot of designing lately, but I've basically been in operations management and manufacturing management for quite a long time. We've recruited a group of guys pretty much starting from 2000, people with backgrounds in aerospace, electronics manufacturing, sales and marketing, pretty much all high-value industrial-type folks. I'm not sure if that's the type of information you were looking for. Or...
I guess your CFO and other key players on your team.
Yeah, okay, Todd Daniels is our CFO. He came to us formerly from Deloitte & Touche, and then spent time with Epic Systems in Kansas City and Honeywell. I had known Todd Daniels from a previous meetings and recruited him to join the team in, I believe, around 2003.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Morgan is our chief operating officer. I worked with Mike at Goodrich Aerospace from 87 through 97. I've known him for a long time. In fact, when I first came on board here, he was the first executive-level hire I made and brought him on the team. Mike Reed is our Executive VP of Business Development. Mike has a long background in aerospace, worked for King Radio, Allied Signal, was president of Pentar Avionics, which was an aircraft electronics support company. Having known him as well, when we decided to start expanding our sales and marketing group, I brought Mike on board. Mark Anderson came to us from SAIC. He was a project manager there. He's now our vice president of engineering. So really, we've brought people from different companies but very similar backgrounds. many of whom I've known in the past. So we work well together, and we know each other very well.
Okay, so yeah, it sounds like you have a pretty in-depth team there.
Yeah, it's a good team, and you know, we all enjoy our jobs too, so coming to work is a lot of fun, and we're actually having a good time working here.
All right.
Which is important.
Okay, so speaking of a good time, where do you see Alexis going forward? Like, what will the company look like? How do you see it 3 to 5 years from now?
3 to 5 years. Well, if I had to guess, you know, I would say our core competency of efficiently designing and manufacturing electronics will still be with us. It'll be larger. I could see us having added several new technologies and or companies to the group. Once again, though, I still believe it'll be in the industrial or commercial electronic monitoring control system, custom solutions. You know, I don't see us departing radically from the business we're in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our strategy is always to grow. It seems whether we're trying to or not, about once a year we do some kind of an acquisition because we find an opportunity that makes sense to us.
Okay. So can an investor extrapolate that there'll be 6 operating businesses within Alexis in 3 years?
An investor is always free to do that, and you know, no guarantees, of course, from the company. We do not have a specific schedule where we're going to go find an acquisition a year, regardless, because unless it's a good fit for the company, we obviously won't do it. And okay. There may be more than one a year. It all depends on the opportunity.
Now, I'm getting a sense that you're not in a rush to do deals, and you're really looking for the right fit. How do you find what specific characteristics are you looking for in potential acquisitions, and how do you go about finding them, or how do they find their way to you?
Yeah, that's how we find them and how they find their way to us. That's always the mystery. But what we're looking for are companies with technologies that complement ours, generally in growing markets where they have a niche, a very, very defined niche for their technology, and they make their living with top service and support. I mean, anyone will tell you we never sell on price. We're not out there to say, well, this it's a commodity and these guys are charging X and we want to charge X minus 5%. We look at it as not – we're never the lowest price, but we may be the lowest cost, and there's a distinction. If you combine our service, our reliability, our quality, our on-time delivery, it actually lowers operating costs for our customers. So we believe it's worth it for them to pay a premium. Our products tend to lead their markets. Our products tend to be more rugged and more durable, and I believe we offer better service. That's kind of the model. So if we find a small company that has those attributes, we would look on it very favorably. Or if we find a product line that could benefit from being managed in such a way, that's also something that would come to our attention.
So essentially, quality leadership is sort of your niche.
That's a fair way to put it. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Okay, so let's. I guess we'll end by asking. Why should investors consider buying Alexis today?
Well, that's always a tough question to answer. But basically, we believe we're a very soundly managed company. We are aggressive to the point of wanting to grow, but not reckless in the form of needing to grow. So we look for opportunities where we can grow the company, and I just see there's such an array of opportunities for the right technology company and the right size. I mean, right now we've got a lot of customers coming to us who may have been working with a very small company, and either due to economic conditions or just the fact that the customer might be growing, they're not so sure about working with a smaller supplier. We're large enough to offer enough services to be real, but we're not like working with a large company that's maybe bureaucratic or very hard to deal with. So we think we're kind of in a sweet spot right now to expand in some new areas.
Okay, great. Well, Carl, thank you for joining us, and
my pleasure.
Look forward to following Alexis's progress in the months ahead.
Great. Well, we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.